In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Well, pretty much anyone who watched football on TV back in the 1980s and has even the slightest familiarity with Christianity can tell you about John 3:16. It's what's on that sign held by the guy in the rainbow afro wig, right? And more recently, it's on the face paint of football player Tim Tebow. And to many folks, it's clear from the verse that anyone who doesn't believe in Jesus in a particular kind of way is going straight to hell. Am I right? Well, actually, no. Context matters. How come the people who are all over John 3:16 aren't giving the same attention to John 3:17? You know, the verse about God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world? Yeah, that verse. Or the even larger context, that of the nighttime visit of Nicodemus the Pharisee to Jesus. Really, the misconceptions about this passage abound. We hear Pharisee, and we think those are the bad guys. But actually, Pharisees were the folks who believed that every Jew, not just the priests, could and should live a holy life, following not just the word of the law, but the spirit as well. Some scholars would even say Jesus was a kind of Pharisee. So Nicodemus comes by night. In St. John's Gospel, that's significant. Darkness, night, indicates unknowingness. But Nicodemus is curious. Jesus had been doing these signs, these miracles, and no one could do any such thing unless they were sent by God. Could maybe this guy be the long-awaited for, long-hoped for, long-prayed for Messiah? Nicodemus asks questions courteously enough, calls Jesus rabbi, which is something, considering Nicodemus was a big deal in the synagogue, well-educated and all, and Jesus is just some guy, a carpenter from out in the country. And Jesus answers him with what sound like riddles. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see this kingdom of God without being born from above. What? How can anyone be born from above after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answers, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Huh? This is, of course, the passage that's key in a branch of Christianity that puts great value on individual confession of faith after the age of reason. Believer baptism, they call it. Born again, or as our translation has it, born from above. Where it might actually be born anew. The original language means all of those things. But Nicodemus takes the most literal answer, or literal meaning of that, and he's confused. Ultimately, that day, Nicodemus left, still unconvinced as to whether Jesus was the one or not. But later in John's Gospel, chapter 7 actually, it's Nicodemus who speaks out against the other members of the council who would like to have Jesus arrested immediately. Nicodemus asks rhetorically, our law does not judge people without first giving them a hearing to find out what they are doing, does it? And then even later, after the crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea provides the tomb. But it's Nicodemus who provides an outrageously generous quantity of spices and materials for Jesus' burial. So we might guess that he came around to believing in Jesus. It might have taken him some time to believe, to learn to trust that Jesus was the one, the real deal. And then there's also that word believe. It's used through John's Gospel, translated as have faith or believe, but it could also be translated as trust. That's a fine distinction, but it makes a difference. One can believe the times tables or the speed of light in a vacuum or other facts. But to have trust, that's about relationship. Think about how it would sound. said our creeds. Instead of saying, I believe, we said, I trust for each of the phrases. Think about that when we recite the creed later. For Nicodemus and for us, trust can take some time to develop. It might wax and wane depending on our anxiety level, how things are going in our lives, how our relationships are with other people, lots of things. And that's okay. Our Lord didn't send Nicodemus away for asking questions, for not getting it right away. We don't hear anything further about Nicodemus after his assist at Jesus' burial. But he certainly was committed enough to spend a boatload of money on that burial. And perhaps we might suppose that signaled his finally getting there, finally getting to a point where he could say, yes, yes, I trust that this is the one. We can hope so, because Nicodemus is probably not going to be especially welcome at the council after his contributions to Jesus' burial become well known. Now for us, just like for Nicodemus, there might be many potholes along the way. Instead of trust, which relies on a relationship, we can get stuck in trying to prove things are true, or trying to set conditions by which we can evaluate other people's level of belief or trust, based on a single verse, a half of an idea, completely devoid of context. The life of Nicodemus, the example of Nicodemus, gives us a picture of conversion. From listening and hoping it's true in the depths of one's heart, to standing up and speaking out on behalf of others, despite risk of criticism or censure, to making significant sacrifices, not only of money, but of position, costing everything for the sake of everything. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.